5 Parables of Destiny for Laodicea. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for yourself, your work, but also for your teachings, for your doctrines, for your lessons. Help us to study them carefully, prayerfully, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and learn from these parables that you gave us lessons for our lives today. We are standing before your very return in glory. And we find parables that have been addressed to us now, living in these last days. Help us to penetrate those lessons. Help us to explore their depth and apply them immediately to our practical lives. Open our eyes now as we study these parables destined for the Seventh Adventist Church, Laodicea, for today. In Jesus' wonderful, powerful name, amen. Dear friends, Jesus Christ wants to impress the last generation, our generation, the generation living on earth before his glorious return, with two important facts. Number one, the certainty, the sure knowledge, the guarantee of his second and glorious coming. Secondly, the utmost importance of our manner of life as we expect Jesus' imminent return. How men and women should relate to his coming in glory. How to live. This period of waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ is a time of transition for every one of us. One part of this transition is a constant and intense preparation. It means changing and adapting ourselves to the divine pattern in our character and in our actions. This part concerns the salvation of our soul. The other part of this transition time is the salvation of our body at the coming of Jesus. And after that, the beginning of eternal life. Jesus Christ gave us several key parables for this crucial time, this passage from one state to another, in order to admonish us, in order to let us know what to do and what to avoid. These 5 parables teach us that by our spiritual attitude and our manner of life, we classify ourselves. We reveal to which group we really belong, either to the saved or to the lost. These 5 parables concern not only Seventh-day Adventists, but apply to all living people on the face of this earth. After Jesus Christ had given his disciples and to all of us the sure signs of his second coming in Matthew chapter 24, he proceeded to give us several pertinent parables that offer precious advice and a solemn warning. Number one, the parable of the 2 servants. The faithful and wise servant in Matthew 24:45-47. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Then, the evil servant, in Matthew 24:48-51. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time, and then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he's not aware of it. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Secondly, the 10 virgins. The first part, the 5 wise virgins. Matthew 25, 1 to 4 and 10. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. There are Adventists among us today who are ready for Christ's return. Their character reflects the image of Jesus Christ. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. They are sealed for eternity. The door is shut behind them. They are with Christ. But then take the 5 foolish virgins of Matthew 25, 5. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and all the foolish virgins became drowsy and fell asleep. Matthew 25, 8, 9, and 11. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied. "There may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." Later, the foolish virgins also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Or take the talents. Again, there's a contrast there between two groups. First, the good and faithful servants. Matthew 25, 20. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more." The man with 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more." To both servants, the master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." But then look at the contrast between the good and the wicked and slothful servant. That's in Matthew 25, 26 to 30. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant, so you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Fourthly, take the contrast between the sheep and the goats. There was a separation between the sheep and the goats. That's in Matthew 25, 31 to 33. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. All right, now let's take first the sheep. Matthew 25, 34 to 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you and thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. But then take the goats. Matthew 25:41-46. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of these least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Oh, my dear friends, there are only two kinds of people on earth, the sheep and the goats. There are only two kinds of roads, the narrow and the broad road. There are only two kinds of terminals, endings, heaven or hell. Where are you? 5. There we see the contrasts between servants that are ready to go. In Matthew 12:35-38, we read, Keep your loins girded and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. Now, to whom does this parable apply? Luke 12:41. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? And the answer is, to all men and women in the world. Yes, there are two kinds of servants. The faithful and the disobedient, the unprepared. Let's take the faithful first. The faithful steward is in Luke 12:42-44. Who then is the faithful and the wise steward, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that steward when the master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But then let's take the surprised, unprepared, disobedient steward in Luke 12:45-48. But suppose the steward says to himself, My master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the men servants and women servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that steward will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with unbelievers. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. My dear friends, what is the accumulated teaching of these five parables? These parables that point to people waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus. The right and true servants of Christ had the Spirit of Christ. They lived according to Christ's principles. They were all moved and filled with the Holy Spirit. They were used by God as instruments to effectually demonstrate to the world at this late hour of world history, under forbidding circumstances, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They gave a marvelous demonstration to the whole world what Jesus can do with 100% committed men and women. The evil and foolish servants of God, on the other hand, demonstrated that they were not willing to die to self. Their old nature was never crucified with Christ. As a result, they were selfish, self-righteous, superficial, lacking the spirit of self-sacrifice, thereby testifying against Jesus and his principles. What is the specific lesson of every parable that describes the people of God in this pre-Advent time? Christ praises the pastor who faithfully takes care of his congregation by giving them the right kind of spiritual food at the right time. He feeds his people with sound instruction from the Word of God and the Spirit of prophecy. He warns them. He's not afraid to lose some members who are feel insulted because their sins have been pointed out. He's not looking for numbers. He's looking for quality. He's not afraid to speak about sin. He's not afraid to speak about adultery, fornication, homosexuality, incest, stealing, cheating, worldliness, television, luxurious homes and clothes and cars. He's not afraid to tell people that if they will not go and visit the sick and the poor and the imprisoned and the orphans, they are not doing it for Jesus. They're not showing the spirit of love. He tells it the way it is, regardless of what happens to him. Then in the other parable, Christ praises the five wise virgins who had a living connection with the Holy Spirit. They had sufficient oil in their lamps. Not just the imputed righteousness, but also the imparted righteousness of Christ. Their lamps were continuously burning. They reflected the character of Christ. In the next parable, Christ praised the servants with the 5 and 2 talents because they had doubled what they had received from God. They had increased their investment. They had used their gifts profitably. Friends, are you using the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you profitably? Have you invested all your talents and time and energy in furthering the kingdom of God? Are you witnessing daily, everywhere, because your heart is full of love for God and man? Or are you burying it? Are you asleep? Are you going about your own business making money, a rat race for more, neglecting the people around you who are going to hell on a cart? The fourth parable, the beautiful parable of the sheep and the goats, tells us that every human being on earth has an access to heaven. Heaven is open to everyone who unselfishly fills the physical needs of suffering men and women. Have you invested some of your capital and your income in feeding and clothing the poor around you? Black and white people are suffering around you. I hear of so many black and white students who cannot go to our educational institutions, who cannot go to Andrews and become ministers because they're lacking the funds to do it. And there we have thousands of Adventists who have large bank accounts who are not looking for a way of helping those people to get an education in our schools. Why do you sit on that money? Right now, when the signs of the Christ's return are visible, why don't you go to your banks and take the money out and go to your conference presidents and say, are there any young people who are capable, godly people who want to become pastors, who do not have the money, who lack the funds to obtain a good education? Here is my money. Give it to them. Every week I receive letters from all over the world of young, capable people who want to study, and they can't because they have no funds. Yes, I've been giving of my funds, but I have such a limited income now I can't do very much. But I know there are people with much more money than I have now in our churches who are not helping our students, our young people. Then the fifth parable in Luke 12 praises the Christian who is always living in a state of readiness for the Lord's coming. He lets his light shine brightly. He prays and watches. He knows God's will for his life and he carries it out. He knows that as a Seventh Adventist, he has been given much truth, much light, much knowledge of the Scriptures, much divine insights and revelations, and as a result, much more is demanded of him from God than from those who received less spiritual insights. So let's make a summary now. The faithful, wise pastor had much spiritual food, and he faithfully gave it away to his congregation, regardless of the cost to him. Secondly, the wise virgins secured the righteousness of Christ and the oil of the Holy Spirit at the right time. Thirdly, the good and faithful servants abounded with the fruits of the Holy Spirit and had multiplied their gifts. Fourthly, the sheep acted like the Good Samaritan and helped everyone who was in need. They were motivated by the love of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Fifthly, these true servants in Luke 12 were always alert and spiritually prepared for Christ's coming while their lives were bright lights in the community. Oh, dear friends, in all these five parables, there is a hidden warning for those who want to be saved from destruction. There are two advents. First, the advent of Jesus Christ, and secondly, the advent of the Holy Spirit, both members of the Holy Trinity. At the first advent, Christ came in the flesh, and then came the Holy Spirit and Pentecost. At the second advent, however, the order is reversed. First comes the Holy Spirit in the form of the early and latter rain, and then the Holy Spirit is followed by the coming of Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords with his angels. No one can be prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ without first having been changed and filled by the Holy Spirit in the form of the early and latter rain. We need to be sealed by him and take part in the loud cry. Every believer must experience a deep, heartfelt repentance and total surrender to the control of the Holy Spirit's early rain. This will bring forth a genuine revival and reformation in the individual soul. These five parables show how we as administrators, pastors, and leaders can miss the mark in spite of all our good intentions. While waiting for the coming of Christ, we can become like the evil servant who said, my Lord is delaying his coming. In other words, I can live it up a little. I can get a few video cassettes and look at it I have lots of time to repent and change. The Lord is not coming for a long time. I can go back and eat some steaks and some glasses of beer when nobody's looking. I'll have plenty of time to change. I can push a few people around in the church whom I don't like. There's lots of time to change. And they will be caught unprepared. And they will be cut off from the spiritual Israel, the church. Or we can become like the foolish virgins who had no reserve oil and tried to buy oil during the night after the stores had been closed forever. We can be Adventists who neglect personal devotions. We do not spend time with Christ every day in the Bible, Spirit, prophecy, and prayer. As a result, we are superficial. We are lukewarm. We have little or no oil in our lamps. Oil stands for the Holy Spirit. Or we don't obey. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is given to them who obey Him. We neglect the Lord in every way. And then suddenly when we see the signs of the times being fulfilled before our very eyes, we try to rush to our pastors and revivalists and say, help us, we are not ready. But character cannot be transferred. Every one of us stands alone. So spend time, brethren. Spend a lot of time with Jesus every day. Push every other consideration aside. Simplify your lifestyle. And give Christ, through His Word, Spirit of Prophecy, prayer, prime time. Or you become like the man who had received one talent and did not use it in such a way as to multiply it, to bring forth much fruit. No sanctification, no character building, no Christ-like life. Or become like the goats who close their eyes and hearts to the physical needs of the poor and ask Jesus, Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, naked, sick, and in prison and did not minister to you? In spite of the fact that we have social security in this country, and unemployment insurance and welfare, there are multitudes who lack the very basic things for life. And if you can't find them in this country, you can find them in Haiti. Or you can find them in Africa that has a tremendous drought right now. Or you can find them in the Far East. They're all around the world, and there are wonderful organizations in our church that will channel those funds of yours to the right place, to alleviate the suffering, the pain, the hunger of many people. Oh, dear friends, it's a terrible mistake to wait for the coming of Jesus while not preparing your character and your way of life. Here lies our danger. It's not enough to understand and know the beautiful revelation that Christ has given to our church. You have to live the Christ life. And Jesus gave us these five parables with the purpose of helping us recognize our dangerous situation, recognize our poor spiritual condition, so that we may make the right choices and follow the pattern that Jesus laid down for every one of us who await His return. And the Spirit of Prophecy says the same. Acts of the Apostle 55. To the end time, the presence of the Spirit is to abide with the true church. But unless the members of God's church today have a living connection with the source of all spiritual growth, they will not be ready for the time of reaping. Unless they keep their lamps trimmed and burning, they will fail of receiving added grace in time of special need. Life Sketches of Ellen G. White, 3:27 and 8. I know that a work must be done for the people, or many will not be prepared to receive the light of the angel sent down from heaven to lighten the whole earth with His glory. Do not think that you will be found a vessel unto honor in the time of the latter rain to receive the glory of God if you are lifting up your soul unto vanity, speaking perverse things, in secret cherishing roots of bitterness. First selected messages 190 and 191. The third angel's message is swelling into a loud cry, and you must not feel at liberty to neglect the present duty and still entertain the idea that at some future time you will be the recipient of great blessing when without any effort on your part a wonderful revival will take place. Today you are to have your vessel purified that it may be ready for the heavenly dew, ready for the showers of the latter rain. For the latter rain will come and the blessing of God will fill every soul that is purified from every defilement. It is our work today to yield our souls to Christ, that we may be fitted for the time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, fitted for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Testimonies to Ministers 506. The latter rain, ripening earth harvest, represents the spiritual grace that prepares the church for the coming of the Son of Man. But unless the former rain has fallen, there will be no life. The green blade will not spring up. Unless the early showers have done their work, the latter rain can bring no seed to perfection. Testimonies to Ministers 507. Many have in a great measure failed to receive the former rain. They expect that the lack will be supplied by the latter rain. When the richest abundance of grace shall be bestowed, they intend to open their hearts to receive it. They are making a terrible mistake. It was by the confession and forsaking of sin, by earnest prayer and consecration of themselves to God, that the early disciples prepared for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The same work, only in greater degree, must be done now. Early Writings, page 71. I saw that many were neglecting the preparation so needful and were looking to the time of refreshing and the latter rain to fit them to stand in the day of the Lord and live in His sight. Oh, how many I saw in the time of trouble without a shelter. They had neglected the needful preparation. Therefore, they could not receive the refreshing that all must have to fit them to live in the sight of a holy God. Gospel Workers 127. The teachers of truth must be wise men, very careful of their words and actions. There must be men who will give meat in due season to the flock of God. Men who will not give the least sanction to low standards of living. Men who have that faith which works by love and purifies the soul from all carnal thought and desires. Yes, dear friends, I want to interject here that I am meeting pastors and laymen in our churches that tolerate adultery without taking action. I can think of one church where there is open adultery of three couples. In this case, the pastor is very faithful and has suggested that these three couples be disfellowshipped because they refuse to change. The majority of the board of that church and the majority of the people refuse to go along with the pastor. They say, after all, God is love. Adultery can be forgiven. So let's not disfellowship these people and embarrass them. Furthermore, they are leaders in our church. They are even telling the pastors to quit and get out. Now, this action is wrong. When sin spreads in our churches, when adultery is committed, and there's no repentance, there's no change, our pastors should have the right to disfellowship our people, then to study with them, to lead them to repentance, back to Christ, and after maybe a year or two or three, rebaptize them and allow them to be part of the church again, but in my opinion, never to hold another office as long as they live in the church. That's the way I see it. 8 Testimonies 2:5-2. We are living in the closing scenes of the earth history. Prophecy is fast fulfilling. The hours of probation are fast passing. We have no time, not a moment, to lose. Let us not be found sleeping on guard. Let no one say in his heart or by his works, "My God, my Lord, delayeth his coming." Christ's Object Lesson 4:19-20. The religion of Christ means more than the forgiveness of sin. It means taking away our sins and filling the vacuum with the graces of the Holy Spirit. It means divine illumination, rejoicing in God. It means a heart emptied of self and blessed with the abiding presence of Christ. When Christ reigns in the soul, there is purity, freedom from sin. The glory, the fullness, the completeness of the gospel plan is fulfilled in the life. Christ's Object Lesson 420. The revelation of his own glory in the form of humanity will bring heaven so near to men that the beauty adorning the inner temple will be seen in every soul in whom the Savior dwells. Men will be captivated by the glory of an abiding Christ. Testimonies to Ministers, 166. Our talents are not our own. They are the Lord's property with which we are to trade. We are responsible for the use or the misuse of the Lord's goods. God calls upon men to invest their entrusted talents, that when the Master comes, he may receive his own with interest. We are walking in the sight of unseen intelligences. A witness is by our side constantly to see how we trade with the Lord's entrusted goods. Christ's Object Lesson 167. How many will mourn for lost opportunities when it is eternally too late? Today we have talent and opportunity, but we know not how long these may be ours. Then let us work while it is day, for the night cometh in which no man can work. Medical Ministry, 134. The first class had Christ interwoven into their character, and they were not conscious of anything they had done. Desire of Ages, 641. In the great judgment day, those who have not worked for Christ, who have drifted along thinking of themselves, caring for themselves, will be placed by the judge of the whole earth with those who did evil. They received the same condemnation. First Selected Messages, 381. Let no man present the idea that man has little or nothing to do in the great work of overcoming. For God does nothing for man without his cooperation. In other words, sanctification is not automatic. It doesn't work like justification. It works differently. It requires our cooperation daily with the Holy Spirit. She goes on, neither say that after you have done all you can on your part, Jesus will help you. Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. From the first to last, man is to be a laborer together with God. But though Christ is everything, we are to inspire every man to unwearied diligence. For the power and grace with which we can do this comes from God, and all the while we are to trust in him who is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him. Friends, be alert, be watching, be doing the works of Christ. Because although we are saved by grace and by grace alone, we are created for good works, the Bible says. Let your light shine now in these last days. Bring many souls to know Jesus and our beautiful message. Thank you, Lord, that you've been with us now, that you've spoken to us through these parables. Please do not allow Satan to steal these truths now. We want to gaze upon you every day, to give you prime time, to spend hours sitting at your feet, to know our Bibles better than any other book, and to do the maximum to obey you in every area of our lives. Thank you for giving us such supreme light, such magnificent revelation. Help us not to neglect them. Prepare Laodicea for your return now. Thank you that you will do it because of our desperate need and because you love us. In Jesus' beautiful, powerful name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. To order CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls, please dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? Our email address is info@americancassette.org. We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and financial support are important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.